first lesson from the Word is a portion of the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Mark. In the same day, when even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him, and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one unto another, What manner of a man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Amen. And here further from the true Christian religion, a portion of number 126. Every man on his part ought to draw near to God. And as far as man does draw near, God on his part enters into him. It is the same as with a temple, which first must be built, and this is done by the hands of men, and afterwards it must be dedicated, and finally prayer must be made to God to be present, and there unite himself with the church. This union itself was made complete through the passion of the cross, because that was the last temptation endured by the Lord in the world. And it is by means of temptations that conjunction is effected. For in temptation, apparently man is left to himself alone, although he is not. For God is then most nearly present in man's inmost and sustains him. And therefore, when man conquers in temptation, he is inmostly conjoined with God. Herein the lessons. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Amen. Now, in our story today, we heard about one of the miracles of the Lord. Of course, the Lord performed many miracles when he came on earth, but this is perhaps one of the greatest of them all. Now, what was it that happened? We heard that the Lord and the disciples were out in a boat, probably on the Sea of Galilee, which is a very, very large lake, and a storm came. High wind and great waves. A storm that was so bad that we heard that the boat was beginning to fill with water, the waves crashing over the boat. And the disciples were becoming very afraid that they were going to drown, to go down with the boat. And so they turned to the Lord and asked for his help. And then the Lord stopped the storm. And it was not only that he stopped the storm, but also the way he did it. Because usually, if you have a great storm with lots of wind and waves, even when it begins to die down, it takes a while. Both for the wind to stop, and also even more so for the waves to stop. Even after the storm is over, the waves will keep on rolling for a long time. But today we heard that that is not what happened. As soon as the Lord spoke, the wind stopped completely and the waves stopped. The sea was calm and the air was still. And of course, that was a great miracle. This was something that showed how the Lord really rules everything, even down to the least parts of the air and water, there's nothing that the Lord does not rule. It showed the disciples how great the Lord's power really is. And of course, that is something they needed to know and to believe in, because later on the Lord was to send them out into the whole world to gather people into his church. And they would face dangers and hardships. And then they would need the power and courage that they could only get from remembering the power of the Lord and how he would be with them in everything that happened. And of course, that is the same thing we can remember also when we think about this miracle, how the Lord also is with us in even the least things of our lives, that we can always look to the Lord and trust in him, that he will be with us and help us and guide us through life in this world and also into his heavenly kingdom. And we may indeed say that this miracle was not only one that gave the disciples the means or the power to go out into the world and serve the Lord, but it is also a description of how all of us are enlightened and strengthened. It shows in an image, we may say, the nature and use of the state of temptation. And it's important to realize when we think about temptation that temptation is not really what we might call a hurdle or an obstacle or a challenge that we have to overcome in order to show that we are good enough. It is not a test we must pass in order to prove that we really deserve the Lord's help. But rather, the state of temptation is an essential part of spiritual growth. We might indeed say that the state of temptation is, with all its pains and doubts and anxieties, that these really are spiritual growing pains. Just as the disciples after this miracle had much greater faith and trust in the Lord, much greater than they had ever had before, so it is also through the state of temptation that we are confirmed in our belief, that we are strengthened in our love. And so it is also, we are taught in the heavenly doctrine about the state of temptation, that it is a process by means of which our preoccupation with worldly and corporeal things recedes. And as these things recede, then the way is open to the internal man. It is in that state that the center of our life and concern shifts to the internal in such a way that we receive new enlightenment, that we enter into a state where we are able to more strongly reject evil and falsity, and we are given greater power over the hells. And about this storm, we are also taught in the Arcana Celeste, where it says that unless atmospheric disturbances include storms to disperse alien substances, the air could not possibly be cleared of harmful toxic substances, but these would accumulate in it. Or, in other words, the use of storms in this world is that it purifies the air. And we may say, just as the menace and fury of the storm represents the anxiety and pain and despair and temptation, so also the uses of the storm to clear and purify the air, to introduce a new state of brightness and health, the storm watering the soil in such a way that new growth can take place. So this represents what we may call the uses of temptation, that is the clearing and enlightening of the understanding, giving place to an emergence of new thoughts and ideas, allowing our love to grow, sweeping away all the pollution of evil and falsity. So these are the uses of temptation, and this is true of us as individuals and also true of the church as a whole. In other words, just as our own individual ship is tossed around by storms, so also the ship of the church can be buffeted and swamped sometimes. Sometimes the church is beset both from without and also from within by evils and falsities, by dissent, by doubts and questionings. Sometimes the whole church may be gripped by a fear of either leaving the Lord or being left by the Lord, wondering about what the fate and the future is going to be. And those are the times when we must be undaunted by appearances, when we must have a strength and confidence in the face of adversity, knowing that the Lord's words to the Israelites when they crossed the Jordan are also meant for us when he says, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. This is indeed a promise to us too, both as individuals and the church. As we endeavor to build the church, to become a repository of revelation, a foundation for the heavens, and also the footstool of the Lord.